Let's open our minds and our hearts to receive a fresh and relevant message from the Word of God shared by our very own Pastor Eddie.
All right, hold up your Bibles. Let's see how much you want to be blessed. This is the Word of God. I'll choose to believe it over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it, whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Continuing the series today entitled, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. I told you that everybody in this life is looking for something. So far in the series I've covered, week number one, finding God. I believe that if we're going to find the things that we're looking for, we better first find God, right? If you go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things you're looking for, you'll find. It's not what it says. It's something like that, right? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. In other words, all the things you're looking for, you're going to find them because you sought God first. Week number two, I talked to you about finding significance. Remember, significance is not found in the accumulation of things or of people or of popularity. Significance is found in the impact that your life leaves on another human being. Now, that can be positive and negative. There's two sides to that. So when you leave someone's company, do they go, I am sure glad they're gone? Or do they go, I wish they wouldn't have left? I hope that it's the latter. And I hope that what happens is when you leave someone's presence, they go, I was so blessed by them being there that I want them around. That's called living a significant life. Amen? And I want you to live the significant life God has anointed you and called you and set you apart to live. Amen. Week number three, I talked about finding love. Anybody in here looking for love in all the wrong places? There's a bar in Texas called Gilly's. And evidently, you can looking for love in all the wrong places at Gilly's. That's what happened in Urban Cowboy. There's a young crowd. They're like, what's Urban Cowboy? You old folks are like, how come you don't get it? They weren't alive when John Travolta was young. Last week, I talked about finding success. Let me say this to you again, young, old, wherever you are in your walk with God. If you want to find success, of all the points I made last week, take God with you. If you'll take God with you, I promise you, you'll find success. Today, I want to talk to you about the subject of finding your purpose. Now, this is one of those sermons that literally can change the trajectory of your life. You may have walked in here one way, but I promise if you'll just buy into what I'm about to tell you, not what I'm going to tell you, what God's about to tell you through his word, you literally can walk out of here different than you walked in here, and your life can be altered because the power of God's word is at work in your life. Amen? Purpose. What is purpose? Well, the definition of purpose is the reason for which something exists or is done, is made, or is used. An intended or desired result, end, aim, or goal. In relation to you and I, for lack of a better term, your purpose is the why you exist. Let me ask you a question, honestly. Have you ever asked God the question, God, why am I here? Only me. Made me stand here by myself. Because let's be honest, you know that it's the number one question in the world? Why am I here? What did you create me for? And today being Memorial Day, I haven't forgot, Richie, about Memorial Day. We're going to honor the veterans that gave their lives for our freedom, because freedom has a price. But there's a guy that lived, and I believe that his life exemplified living a life of purpose. The guy's name was Pat Tillman. How many of you know who Pat Tillman was? Great. Pat Tillman was, if you're a sports fan, he was a great football player. He was born in Fremont, California, played football, and at Fremont High School and went on to Arizona State University, played football as a defensive back, was a phenomenal player. In 1997, he was voted Defensive Player of the Year in the NCAA, was drafted in 1998 by the Arizona Cardinals, went on to play professional football. And you young people, sports fans, you're probably thinking, this guy has literally reached the pinnacle of life. He's made it. He's in the NFL making the big bucks, dude, living life, bro. He's got it going on, right? And then something happened in our country on September the 11th, 2001. Some terrorists decided to fly some airplanes full of people into buildings and structures and kill the people on board and people in the places and created terror in our land, created terror in our country. Pat Tillman, in his career with the Arizona Cardinals, was just about to sign a $5 million contract renewal. And Pat Tillman, struck by a sense of patriotism, struck by a sense of duty, a sense of calling, a sense of purpose, decided that day, I'm not signing the $5 million contract, I'm joining the Army. And Pat Tillman not only joined the Army, became an Army Ranger, and he went to Afghanistan and unfortunately was killed by friendly fire on April the 22nd, 2004. I believe that Pat Tillman lived the first part of his life one way, like most of us do. He was performing. He was doing what he was good at. But the last part of his life he did with purpose. And I want you to know that you can live your life on purpose. But more than likely, the life that you're living right now, the life that you're getting up every day and going after, the places you go to work, are not your purpose. The thing that you do for a living 99.5% of the time is not going to be the thing that you were created to do. Now we think, I want to be a lawyer or a doctor or a fireman. I'm going to be a policeman. I'm going to be whatever it is you're going to be or run the business that you're going to run. And none of those things are really your purpose. They're the thing that you do that's going to provide a paycheck. I've told my kids from the time they were little, don't pursue paychecks. What did I tell you? Pursue passion, right? And if you pursue passion, you'll get a paycheck, but you'll also find your purpose, right? Amen. It wasn't until I was 35 years old, that I decided, after I met Jesus, that I decided that I was going to finally pursue my purpose. That I was all up to that point, 35 years of my life, I had pursued a paycheck. I have pursued the means to an end. And I decided at 35, I'm no longer pursuing those things. I'm going to pursue what God created me for. Now, yours may be to stay in the business or the job that you're doing, but to just continue to do it with a different reason, a different why. So today we honor Pat Tillman and all of the men and women throughout the hundreds of years we've been a country that have given their lives and paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Would you just give Pat Tillman a hand and thank him for his service to our country? Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this: For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, in what is referred to as what they call a circular letter. So remember, all of the New Testament, most of it are letters to churches, written by some of the apostles and some followers of Jesus to churches with instruction and correction and so on. Well, the Ephesian letter was a little different than most of the other letters. The Ephesian letter was what they call a circular letter. A circular letter wasn't written necessarily to one church, but to a region of churches. In other words, it was written to the body of Christ as a whole. And so this herald would take the letter, and he would go from church to church, and he would read the letter to the churches. And it was instruction for the church, not a particular church, which is the beauty of the book of Ephesians or the letter to the Ephesians. And so when you read it, you could be reading it like it was present tense. You could be reading it like it was like God wrote it today because it's that applicable as it was 2,000 years ago when it was written. It says that in that verse, we read Ephesians 2:10, that we're God's handiwork. We're the pomeo. We're the thing that is made. We're the thing that was made or created, the kitso, or fabricated by God for the purpose of God. Listen, anybody in here do woodworking or build things with their hands? Any creative people? Anybody? Just show me your hand. Yeah, I know you are, Jerry. Jerry makes stuff. I have a friend who builds guitars. And he takes pieces of wood, and you and I would look at it and say, looks like a piece of wood. Just laying there, just kind of dead on the table. But my friend looks at that wood, and he sees something that only he can see because he's the creator. See, he looks at the wood, and he sees the shape of the guitar. And he sees the thickness of the guitar because a certain thickness is going to create a certain sound. And he sees how it's going to fit in his hands and how he's going to press those strings against the frets and how it's going to make those noises and make those beautiful sounds. Do you know when God created you in your mother's womb, he saw the God potential. He saw the way that you would talk and the way that you would walk. And he saw the influence that you would have. And he saw the way that he was going to use you in your life. He saw what you don't see. And then we're born, and we're born into this world, and we're all infected by this thing called sin. And we grow up in different ways, and we don't see that potential because we've been influenced and affected by this lost world, this fallen world around us, right? And so we begin to think things about ourselves that are not necessarily true. And God sees something completely different. You see, even though the things that are happening in your life, they're literally manifesting before you, and you go, well, that must be who I am. That must be my purpose because these things keep happening. See, the problem is you're taking what's seen greater than what's unseen. And what's unseen is a purpose that God placed in you before the creation, before the foundation of the world. He placed it. He saw you. He saw your name, and he put a label on you, and the label is a purpose. And that purpose is something greater. And most of us, at whatever point you are in your life, whatever age you are, most of us have never found the purpose or are living in the purpose. We're just going along, making a living, doing our thing. You know, I know people that wake up every day and hate their job. If you hate your job, do not raise your hand, especially if your boss is in the room. I said this in the first service. If you work for me, please don't raise your hand. My wife's raising a hand like, no, my wife loves her job. She loves to work with me every day. I have some swamp land I'd like to sell you. She does love working with me. But I want you to understand something about your purpose. You can't get to your purpose living in your past. And you can't get to your purpose living in your plans. See, we can live in our, well, this is who I've always been. This is what I've always done. This is how I'm known. I love when I run into old friends from high school. Hey, buddy, how you doing? What you been doing all these, you know, these years? A lot of years since high school. Well, I'm a pastor. Really? What kind of church is that, right? It's actually a good one. I don't know what you're talking about. Because people knew me how I used to be, right? They didn't see God's hand on my life. They didn't see the change and the transformation that happened over the years. And so all they can do is remember what was. And that's the problem with us is we remember what was, and we have trouble seeing what is. We have trouble seeing what can be because we're too busy wrapped up in the past. But we also have plans. I mean, you know, especially you young people, right? You young people, I got my 5-year plan, I got my 10-year plan, and I'm saving for this, I'm doing for that, and we got all these plans, right? But here's the thing, here's the question. Have you asked God, is it his plan? Because he's got a plan, and you got a plan, and I want you to know, most times, your plan, his plan, look nothing alike. My plan was make lots of money, you know, just live life, have fun, and one day you die. You know, before I got saved, I honestly, this was my belief. I believe that they put my body in the ground, and that would be the end of it. There's no spirit, there's no heaven, there's no hell. That was it. What a terrible way to live, that this is it. This entire existence is for today. It's for right now. You're not created just for right now. You're created for something greater, and it starts right now. It's preparation time, right? You were created in Christ Jesus, in Christ, to do good works, which God prepared in advance. Long before you were, he created those things for you to do. Today, we're going to talk about a biblical character to go along with what I'm talking about, purpose. And I believe this man found his purpose on the earth. The guy's name was Moses. And every one of us knows who Moses is. And you could probably tell me more about Moses than I could tell you. But you're not up here. I am. So I get to do that. And you have to listen. You know, from the time Moses lived, he lived 80 years of his life not fulfilling God's purpose, and the last 40 years fulfilling God's purpose. He lived more of his life not walking in God's purpose than he did in walking in God's purpose. So there's hope for you too. You know that when Moses answered the call of God, he was 80. Maybe only a handful of us in the room that are near 80. So that means there's hope for all of us, that we can all find our purpose even today or tomorrow or some other day. You can find your purpose and live your purpose. So Moses, when he was born, his mother decided she was going to hide little Mo, because there was an edict in the land to kill all babies under 2 years of age. So she hid him. She saw potential in Moses. She put him in a basket, sent him up the river. And when he's going up the river, Pharaoh's daughter sees Moses and says, "Hey, there's potential in that kid. Get him." And she brings him into her house, and she begins to raise Moses in the house of Pharaoh. He's privileged. And then Moses is walking around town one day, and he sees some injustice happening, and he kills somebody. And he runs for his life thinking, this is it, my life is over. I better leave town because they're surely going to kill me now. And he runs for his life and goes out in the desert. He's 40 years old when he leaves Egypt. You'd think at 40, that's pretty, especially you young people, you think that's pretty old. But at 40, Moses was just about to begin life. I know you people around your 40s are thinking, that's not old. And for us in our 50s, we're like, whoa, that 40 is really young. Anyway, Moses is out in the desert, and this is the story. We pick up the story here in Exodus chapter 2. If you would turn to Exodus chapter 2 with me, and we're going to read the last two verses of chapter 2, and we're going to continue reading in chapter 3. And let me tell you what's happening. So the people, the children of Israel were prisoners in Egypt, and they're now crying out to God, and God hears their groaning. And this is where we pick up the story, Exodus 2, verse 24. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Now Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'll go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place you're standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. I want to give you four keys today to finding your purpose. The first one is that you must, if you're going to find your purpose, you must engage with God. Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to the burning bush, God called to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses," and Moses said, "Here I am." Listen to me. We all come to church for different reasons. Some of you are here because someone invited you. Others are here because someone made you. Some are here because someone nagged you. Others are here because maybe you're just curious about this God that we're talking about. But whatever the reason is that you're here, I want you to understand that it's no accident. You're not here by accident. You're here for a purpose, with a purpose. And today you're about to find your purpose. Now, Moses, I told you, was recognized. His calling was recognized by his mother. It was fostered by Pharaoh's daughter. And then finally, at 80 years old, Moses decides he's going to engage God. Get that in your head. Moses had been set apart from birth to be used by God and did not even recognize God's calling on his life till he was 80. Listen to me, God will get your attention however he needs to get your attention, whether it's a burning bush while you're tending sheep, whatever God needs to do, he'll get your attention. Listen, you're here today hearing this bald guy, this burning bush, and you're just wondering why you're here. I don't understand. Listen to me, take off your sandals, for the place you're sitting is holy ground. I don't want to tell you to take your pants off because that wouldn't be proper. You're in church. God's calling someone in here or someone online today to say, hey, this guy right here is even speaking to you from a bush. He's saying to you, God is calling you. There's a calling on your life. Today's the day that you engage God. God will use anything he needs to get you closer to him. You're not here in church to check a spiritual box. I went to church for a large part of my life to check a spiritual box so that I would feel good about myself on Sunday. All right, did that. Checked it off. Now go about my business and do whatever I want the rest of the week. And it wasn't until I met Jesus. See, I went to church, and I said this before. I saw Jesus hanging on a cross in front of the church I went to for 35 years and had no idea why he was there. Now, maybe I'm just slow. Maybe I'm just a little dense, a little hard to get things, because for 35 years I saw him hanging on that cross, but I had no idea that he was there for me. When I found out, I was like, my mind was blown. Wait, you did that for me? And I also realized my need for God, and I began to engage with God. Listen to me. Some of you are here today. You've been playing spiritual games. Check the box. Go home. I feel good. And somebody asked you, what'd you do today? Went to church. Good. Went to church. Think, oh, you must be a spiritual person. Yeah, I'm spiritual. I go to church. We use it like a badge of honor. Listen to me. I said this before. New Beginnings Church is not a country club for the spiritually elite. It's a hospital for sick people. People infected by the sin of the world. Amen? So today's the day that we engage with God. And when you engage with God, what happens is, just like I said a little while ago, you leave this place different than you walked in. Because we're not playing games anymore. God, I'm here to engage you. The presence of the Lord is here. Bible says where two or more gathered, there he is in the midst. The presence of the Lord is here. You get to decide, am I walking out with him? Or am I walking out without him? Number two, if we're going to find purpose, we must activate our faith. We have to engage God, but we also have to activate our faith. So in Exodus 3:10, God said, so now go, I am sending you. Listen, with every calling, I want you to notice, with every calling of God, there's an action step. God doesn't call us and go, there's a calling on your life, now go put yourself on a shelf. Hey, look at my calling. I got this calling. You should see it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty big. Man, God said to me, I'm going to speak to thousands. I'm going to speak to, I'm going to be on the internet. I'm going to be all over the place. So the next question is, what are you doing about it? See, God doesn't call us to put us on a shelf. He doesn't, and by the way, listen to me. He has a calling on every one of your lives. See, you're looking at me thinking, well, there's a calling on your life and you're doing what he said. No, forget me. There's a calling on your life. Are you doing what he said? Because what he told Moses. So now go, I'm sending you. There's a world out there that needs to hear what God's doing in your life. We need to activate the faith. We need to put our faith in action. James said in James 2:17 and 18, in the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. I'll show you my faith by what I do. Listen, if I can say all day long that I have faith, and I have faith and I trust in God's plans, but if I never act on my faith, if I never act on God's plans, do I really have the faith that I claim to have? I got faith, baby. I got faith. I trust in God for everything. But now I'm scared, I'm worried, I'm anxious. I would say I ain't got too much faith. If you're living there, if you're like, man, I find myself fearful, anxious, nervous, worried, you're trusting in you. You got to activate your faith. God has a purpose for your life, and it starts with you engaging God and activating your faith. Everything God does, he does with and for a purpose. 2021, here at New Beginnings, is the year of what? I couldn't hear you. What is it? Right. We wear these bands not so much so that people can go, what does that mean? It's as a reminder to me. I have a purpose. My purpose this year is for me to reach one, that there's somebody else out there that needs to hear about what's happening in here. Not in here, in here. Right? We come in here to get charged up, fueled up, filled up, so we can go out there and go activate what we... Follow me? Today is the day we activate our faith. Who's ready? You ready to activate? Number three. We engage God, we activate our faith, and we have to be empowered by his Spirit. We must be empowered by his Spirit. The problem is we try to do it on our own. We try to do it at our own power. We try to do it at our own strength, and God hasn't called you to do anything by your own strength. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. So Moses is having this conversation with God about this calling, and he's nervous. God, I think you got the wrong guy. It's not what he says, but something like, basically that's what he's saying. God, you got the wrong guy. And I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, God, have you got a calling on my life? You got the wrong guy. Called the wrong girl. Better find somebody. Maybe this person's sitting next to me, but it's not me. This is what God says. Moses answered, well, what if they don't believe me or listen to me or say to me, the Lord didn't appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? And he said, it's a staff. And the Lord said, throw it on the ground. And he threw it on the ground and it became a snake. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. I'd be like, oh, time out. God, I ain't picking that snake up. I'm scared of snakes. He said, take it by the tail. And he took it by the tail and it became a staff again in his hand. And this is what the Lord said in verse 5. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. Listen, God takes ordinary things. He's saying to somebody in here, what's that in your hand? What's that ordinary thing in your life that you've discounted? Here's the thing. How about that? What's that in the mirror? What's that in the mirror? That's you, by the way, when you're looking in the mirror, and God's saying, that thing in the mirror, that ordinary, everyday thing in the mirror that you've discounted, that you said there's no way I can use, that you said there's absolute, because of my past, I've messed up so many times, there's no way you could use me. God, do you know all the things I've been involved in? And God is saying, I know everything because I created you, and I know what I put in you, and quit looking at yourself in the mirror the way you see yourself, and just Believe. Just trust me and allow my Spirit to empower you. He will take the ordinary and do extraordinary things with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. Paul writing to the church. He said, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standard. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. How many of you are like, that's me? Don't raise your hand. He said he chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before. And listen, regardless of what you think about yourself or however it is you see yourself, understand that God uses the foolish, weak, lowly, despised, and the things that are not, so that when he moves in your life, they'll believe. I love when I run into people from high school and they go, so tell me what you do now. You see, because they remember what used to be. They remember the lowly, despised, the foolish things. Did a lot of foolish things. And they go, how could that possibly be this? By the power of Almighty God that lives in me. You see, I'm empowered by his Spirit. Listen to me. Empowered by the Spirit of God, nothing is impossible for you.
Right. Amen.
Okay, one person believes me. The rest of y'all, I don't really know. I got to know. Do you follow what I'm saying? Are you receiving what I'm saying? Do you understand that if you receive it, you'll walk in it? If you say, God, empower me by your Spirit, God, I want the impossible to become possible. Be empowered by the Spirit of God. And last but not least, we engage with God, activate our faith, we're empowered by his Spirit, and then lastly, we cannot forget this one, we have to release his purpose. Exodus 4:20, look what happens. After all the conversation with God at the burning bush, so Moses took his wife and his sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. He took the thing that represented the ordinary, that was now extraordinary, and he brought it with him as a reminder. I want you to know, when you look in the mirror, I want you to see the extraordinary. I want you to see the supernatural power of God at work in the life of a human being surrendered to God. Instead of seeing the limitations, see the unlimitations, right? It's not even a word, but you can say you heard it here first. We're going to put that in the dictionary. Discovering the purpose of God is only good and effective when you release his purpose in your life. Listen, when we receive the purpose of God, and we say, I got it, I know my purpose.
Yeah.
Fantastic, I'm going to go about my business. I call that spiritual constipation.
Yeah.
Kind of get stuck right up. See, because God gives you purpose so that, by the way, you're just a funnel. You're just a filter. It's supposed to flow into you and out of you so that the people around you can see it and say, that person has been in the presence of Almighty God. I can see and understand that they have heard from God. I don't know how, and I don't know why God would choose him or God would choose her, but he did. See, when you release God's purpose, you provide an avenue for somebody else to believe. But when I decide I'm going to keep God's purpose in, if I decide I'm going to hold God's purpose for myself, you know what? Here's the reality. The reality is New Beginnings Church would not be. There are people in this community that would not know Jesus because I didn't come to faith in Christ. There would be people that would still be in spiritual bondage because I didn't answer God's call. Listen, had Moses just went back home and said, honey, guess what? And then walked out the door saying, I'm going back to tending sheep. See you in a few months when I'm done. She'd have said, well, what about that call of God? He said, that thing, I'm not worried about that. The Egyptians would have still been in bondage. They may not have ever made it to the promised land. I want you to know, you're responding to God's purpose. You walking in God's purpose could literally be the thing that could change the trajectory of someone else's life. All because we say, all right, Lord, I'm ready. I'm not counting the cost. I'm not looking at the consequences. I'm going to trust you regardless of what I see or I don't see. Would you stand with me? Today, I want to release you into the purposes of God for your life. Some of you are in the place where you just need to engage God. I'm ready to just engage God. I've been coming to church. I play spiritual games every week. I'll go to church. Look, I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Surely you got a place in heaven for me. I'm good. Good by whose standard? Today is the day we quit playing spiritual games and we engage with God. Number two, we have to say, hey, God, I'm engaged, but I'm ready to activate my faith. I'm ready to walk in it. I want to be empowered by your spirit. Maybe it's like you've been trying to do it in your own strength, trying to figure it out on your own. And God's saying, no, I want to empower you. I want to go with you. And then finally, he says, will you release it? You know, we have a sign that's made and we're waiting to have it put up. It's going to go over the entrance doors. So when you can see it on your way out, and it's going to be big, and it's going to be between those two exit signs that says, you are now entering the mission field. Because this is not the mission field. This is the camp. This is where we come into camp to eat spiritual food, to get fed and filled up so we can go out there and go be the church, right? So you haven't entered the mission field till you walk out the doors. It's time to go release our purpose. If you're ready, if you're wherever you are in that walk, if you're ready to receive from God, would you just come and join me here at the altar? I want to pray for you, and I'm going to let you go out there and be the church to the people around you. A big world out there. Somebody in your circle needs to hear about the love of Jesus. Maybe even today. And by you walking by going, hey, maybe somebody else will tell them, I'm just really not in the mood. I don't want any of us to be the reason somebody else stays in spiritual bondage, not one second longer than they should. Amen? Would you just raise your hands to heaven as a sign of surrender? Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, just surrendered to your way and your will. God, not discounting ourselves any longer, but trusting in your plans, trusting in your purpose. God, knowing that you had a purpose in us, for us, before the foundation and creation of the world. Lord, with our name on it, a purpose designed for each one of us, my prayer is you began to speak to us, you began to direct our steps and lead us so that when we leave this place, God, we know the reason we exist, the why in our lives. And I pray that why begins to change everything we do, every decision we make, every relationship we're involved in or not involved in. God, let us begin to live our why because we trusted you first in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.